The thrill of forging your own path is powerful. Nissan is bringing that thrill to our community in collaboration with the Black Effect Podcast Network to create The Thrill of Possibility, a community impact program and summit curated to support HBCU students in science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, or STEAM, and introduce them to exclusive opportunities. Nissan is committed to creating opportunity for the whole community and ensuring that Black excellence is a part of the new future of automotive. For more information about this program and how to apply, visit blackeffect.com/Nissan.
Feeling a little foggy in the mornings? A little more forgetful? That's junk sleep. Those tossing, turning, unrestful nights from sleeping on a mattress that's not right for you. So let the highly trained sleep experts at Mattress Firm help you find the perfect mattress. They'll use Mattress Matcher technology to connect you with the ideal sleep products. And just like that, no more junk sleep. Talk to a Mattress Firm sleep expert and unjunk your sleep today. Visit a Mattress Firm store near you or go to mattressfirm.com.
Let me guess. Unknown caller? You could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection. The latest innovation from Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And we'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
And we're back with Our American Stories, and here to tell another Hollywood Goes to War story is Roger McGrath. He's the author of Gunfighters, Highwaymen, Vigilantes, Violence on the Frontier. He's also a U.S. Marine and former history professor at UCLA. Dr. McGrath has appeared on numerous History Channel documentaries and is a regular contributor for us here at Our American Stories. Here's McGrath.
Marion C. Cooper was one of Hollywood's most important figures in its golden age. He rose to great prominence in 1933 when he co-wrote, directed, and produced the blockbuster King Kong. Before he retired, he had 6 credits for directing, 19 for writing, and 68 for producing. He worked closely with John Ford, producing such Ford classics as Ford Apache, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, Rio Grande, Wagon Master, The Quiet Man, and The Searchers. What is generally not known about Marion Cooper is his service as a U.S. Army pilot in World War I, and then as the organizer of the Kosciuszko Squadron, a group of American pilots who came to Poland's aid and flew with great distinction in the Polish-Russian War of 1920. Marion Cooper is born in 1893 in Jacksonville, Florida, the son of a prominent attorney. Cooper line goes back to the colonial era in southeastern Georgia, rising to prominence during the Revolutionary War is John Cooper, Marion's great-great-grandfather, who serves as a colonel alongside Kazimierz Pulaski, the Polish cavalry commander. After a meeting with Ben Franklin in Paris in 1776, Pulaski sails to America and is soon reorganizing and commanding the Continental Army's cavalry regiments. Though his imperious manner causes controversy, the aristocratic Pulaski serves with distinction in several battles, both before and after spending the winter of 1777 to 1778 with Washington at Valley Forge. While leading a charge during the Battle of Savannah in May 1779, Pulaski is grievously wounded by British grapeshot. Colonel John Cooper carries Pulaski from the battlefield and, according to family lore, is at Pulaski's side when the cavalry commander dies 2 days later. Kazimierz Pulaski becomes a hero to Americans, including Marion Cooper, when, as a young boy, he is told stories of his great-great-grandfather and the Polish general. The young boy's imagination is also fired by hearing of the exploits of his great uncle, Marion R. Cooper, who joins the 2nd Florida Infantry of the Confederate Army at the age of 16, fights heroically, suffers several wounds, and is commissioned as a captain at age 20. Moreover, the young Cooper is a voracious reader of tales of adventure, in particular, Paul du Chaillu's Explorations and Adventures in Equatorial Africa, a thrilling account of Chaillu's hunt for gorillas in the forests of the uncharted Crystal Mountains. Chaillu's description of two native women being carried off by gorillas leaves a lasting impression on Cooper. It isn't by accident that in 1933, Cooper co-writes, directs, and produces King Kong. Cooper's thoughts of adventure turn skyward when, at age 10 in 1903, the Florida boy reads of the Wright brothers' 12-second flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. He vows that one day he will fly airplanes. Upon graduating from the Lawrenceville Prep School in New Jersey, Cooper receives an appointment to the United States Naval Academy. He performs well both academically and athletically, but Cooper has trouble controlling his wild nature and receives demerits for infractions of military discipline. His fondness for strong drink gets him thrown into the brig during December 1914, and the academy begins dismissal proceedings. Cooper is only one semester shy of graduation, and he can contest the proceedings, but he feels he has brought dishonor upon himself and his family, and thinks it best for all if he leaves. Too embarrassed to return home, Cooper sails to Europe as a seaman aboard a freighter. He thinks of enlisting to fly for Britain or France, but passport problems interfere. He returns to the United States and works at various jobs, including writing for the Minneapolis Daily News and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He stops drinking entirely and excels at his jobs, but he does begin smoking a pipe. In a letter to his father, he says of his pipe, "He soothes many, many a hatred and many a regret. And whenever I have wanted a good stiff drink, the old corn cob has always stuck by me and taken the place of John Barleycorn." In 1916, Cooper joins the Georgia National Guard and quickly finds himself on the Mexican border with General George Blackjack Pershing. Cooper thinks he will soon be pursuing Pancho Villa deep inside Mexico, but his duties are confined to patrolling the border. After several months and on limited action, Cooper gets orders to the Military Aeronautics School in Atlanta. After a year of rigorous training, Cooper graduates first in his class of 150 cadets. The commandant of the school sends a telegram to Washington recommending the newly minted pilot, Marion Cooper, for service overseas, saying, "He is the best man in every respect who has yet entered this school." Lieutenant Cooper is in France by October 1917, but is in for several more months of training before being assigned to the 20th Aero Squadron. Injuries and a crash landing and months of heavy rains and fog delay Cooper's first combat flights until September 1918, which occur during the Battle of San Miguel. Cooper's flying the de Havilland 4 Liberty, a powerful and fairly maneuverable plane, but when loaded with a pilot, a bombardier, ordnance, and a full tank of gas, it is considerably slower than the German Fokker D-7. Moreover, the Liberty's gas tank is particularly vulnerable to enemy fire, which earns the plane the nickname Flaming Coffin. Lieutenant Cooper flies both bombing and reconnaissance missions. His luck holds until a bombing mission in late September during the Meuse-Argonne offensive. His flight of de Havilland is jumped by two groups of Fokkers. Cooper maneuvers his plane brilliantly, and he and his bombardier, N. Leonard, shoot down three Fokkers before his own plane is riddled with bullets and set ablaze. Cooper thinks of bailing out, but he decides to stick with the plane because Leonard is wounded and only semi-conscious in the rear seat.
And you've been listening to the story of Marion C. Cooper, and he's the man who gave us King Kong. And that's in 1933. When people saw this movie, they ran out of the theater. You can still watch it today, and it's still a remarkable piece of cinema. And also, my goodness, producing the classic John Ford movies like The Searchers or A Quiet Man or Rio Grande. Always in the lineage of this family, there was war and service. When we come back, more of Marion C. Cooper's story. It's a stem winder here on Our American Story.
Okay, phone, wallet, keys, what else? Ah, coffee. Here we go. Starbucks app. There it is, cafe latte. Wait, or a nice caramel macchiato. Yes, grande. Oh, I should get something for our meeting. Muffins and scones, perfect. And ordered. This is gonna be good.
Share the moment. Download the Starbucks app.
It's never been easier to communicate with people, but it's also never been harder to know which platform you're supposed to be communicating on. There's a simpler solution. RingCentral is the complete phone system that makes it easy to call, meet, message, even fax all in one app. And with seamless device switching, you'll always be able to stay on top of business, even as your business grows. Because whether you're working from home, the office, or anywhere else, RingCentral can help you be there without having to be there. When it comes to communication, simple is better. Learn more at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, simpler communications.
Can you feel it? Fall is in the air. And with a new season comes a new reason to shop. At Saks OFF 5TH, you'll find everything you need for the season ahead. Shop all the latest fall trends at Saks OFF 5TH, like chic faux leather jackets, cool chunky boots, trendy totes, and so much more. Plus, what's even better about shopping at Saks OFF 5TH? Shopping all the latest fashion at up to 70% off. Update your wardrobe now with designer names like Stella McCartney, Chloe, Stuart Weitzman, Vince, Moschino, and more. Plus, while you're at it, don't forget to stock up on fall essentials at Saks OFF 5TH. Pick up new denim favorites from Hudson and Joe's Jeans starting at just $89.99. Discover all this and so much more at a Saks OFF 5TH store near you or at saksofffth.com. Saks OFF 5TH, where fashion takes off.
And we continue with Our American Stories. Marion Cooper's airplane is on fire after getting riddled with bullets in a dogfight against two German planes in World War I. He thinks of bailing out, but decides to stick with the plane because his bombardier, Ed Leonard, is wounded and only semi-conscious in the rear seat. Let's return to Roger McGrath.
With badly burned hands and using only his elbows and knees to control the stick, Cooper crash lands the plane in a field. By the time Cooper and Leonard extract themselves from the wreckage, a German pilot, who is one of those in the air duel, also lands in the field. As described by Cooper, the handsome and metal-bedecked pilot strides over to the wounded Americans, salutes them, and renders aid. German infantry soon arrive, and Cooper and Leonard are taken to a German field hospital for treatment. German doctors save Cooper's hands in Leonard's life. Cooper and Leonard are listed as MIA until the Red Cross sends word early in November that they are alive and recovering from their wounds in a German hospital. The armistice is signed a week later, and Cooper and Leonard are soon repatriated. Once back in France, and now a captain, Cooper volunteers for a humanitarian mission to Poland. The Poles are starving, their condition made even worse by a Russian Bolshevik invasion. World War I may be over, but the Polish-Russian War is just beginning. Cooper's organization of truck convoys with tons of food and medical supplies endears him to the Poles, especially in East Galicia, now part of Ukraine. However, he longs to join the Poles in fighting the Russian Bolsheviks, who are able to send more than 700,000 troops into Poland after defeating their white Russian foes. Cooper personally contacts Poland's head of state, Marshal Joseph Pilecki, asking permission to organize a squadron of American pilots to fight alongside the Poles and repay the American debt owed to Poland for the services of Kazimierz Pulaski and Tadeusz Kosciuszko, another Polish nobleman who served in the Continental Army with distinction. With Marshal Pilecki's approval, Cooper begins recruiting American pilots. The first to join is Colonel Cedric Errol Fauntleroy, a tall Mississippian who flew in Eddie Rickerbacker's famed squadron. Cooper wants a squadron named in honor of Pulaski, but Fauntleroy wants Kosciuszko. Since Fauntleroy is the ranking officer, the unit becomes the Kosciuszko Squadron. In addition to Captain Cooper and Colonel Fauntleroy, the founding members of the squadron include Captain A.H. Kelly of Virginia, Captain Ed Corsi of New York, Lieutenants Ed Noble and E.P. Graves of Massachusetts, Lieutenant Carl Clark of Oklahoma, Lieutenant Ken Shrewsbury of Virginia, Lieutenant Elliot Chess of Texas, and Lieutenant George Crawford of Delaware, certainly a cross-section of America. Many more American volunteers will later join the squadron. By January 1920, the squadron is in action, contributing significantly to turning the tide of battle against the Russians. Captain Cooper's in combat whenever weather permits, often flying low-altitude missions against the Cossack cavalry, which is attempting to sweep through eastern Poland and into Warsaw. The American pilots employ tactics they learned in the World War I battles of San Miguel and Argonne. First, they would fly over the Cossack columns at 600 feet above the ground and drop their bombs by hand. Then they would dive down to only a few dozen feet above the ground and fire their machine guns at the now fleeing Cossacks. These bombing and strafing attacks are devastating to the Cossack cavalry, but also take a toll on American pilots. Flying at such low altitudes, particularly on the strafing runs, means small arms can bring down a plane. Cooper also flies several missions to Kiev, where he has a beautiful Polish girlfriend. He later recalled, "The day I flew down a street in Kiev with a wing almost shot off so I could wave to my beautiful, luscious blonde and have her blow a kiss at me. And if that wasn't worth risking your life for, I don't know what is, particularly as I had a date with her that night." On July 13th, Cooper is strafing Cossack cavalry when bullets rip through his gas tank and his engine begins to sputter. He switches to his reserve tank, but no luck. As his plane is gliding to the earth, he watches Cossacks galloping their horses to catch up with him. His dead stick landing is smooth, but then his wheels hit a ditch and the plane ground loops. Cooper is thrown out of the cockpit and hits the ground with a thud. He struggles to his feet, walks a few steps, then passes out. Cooper regains consciousness with the help of a kick from the boot of a dismounted Cossack. Cooper sees he's surrounded by the notorious Russian cavalrymen. Cooper later says, "They look like wild dogs jumping after a piece of raw meat." He endures 3 days of beatings and whippings before arriving at the headquarters of the Cossack cavalry commander, General Simeon Budeni. Cooper thinks he will be interrogated and executed. But a surprise to learn, Budeni has a fondness for the Kosciuszko pilots. A few weeks earlier, the pilots could have killed Budeni while he was riding in the train. However, the Americans saw his wife was with him and decided to fly by without attacking. Budeni offers Cooper a job as a flying instructor for the Bolsheviks. But Cooper will have none of it and is sent to a prison near Moscow. Malnutrition and disease take the lives of prisoners week by week. And for various reasons, prisoners are occasionally lined up against a wall and shot. Cooper is chosen for the wall three times, but each time his execution is called off. During the spring of 1921, he and two of his fellow prisoners, both Polish lieutenants, swear an oath to each other that they will attempt to escape or die trying. Days later, when they are among a group of prisoners taken into a forest to chop wood, Cooper and the Polish officers slip away. Moving rapidly through the forest, they have the good fortune to come upon a rail line and leap unseen aboard a freight train headed west. The train takes them much of the way to the Latvian border, but then it's travel on foot, only by night, and only off the beaten path. At one point, Cooper has to cut the throat of a Russian soldier on patrol. When Cooper reaches Warsaw, he's greeted as a conquering hero. Cooper says all the Kosciuszko squadron did was nothing more than payback for the contributions of Pulaski and Kosciuszko to America's freedom in the American Revolution. Once back in the United States, Cooper goes to work as a reporter for the New York Times. After 6 months, though, he's able to join an expedition led by a wealthy explorer from California, Edward Salisbury, that is sailing to far-off places in search of adventure. This is something Cooper has dreamed of since he was a little kid. The expedition takes Cooper to the most remote islands of the Southwest Pacific and to those of the Indian Ocean, islands of headhunting, human sacrifice, and cannibalism. Out of the expedition comes hundreds of photographs and hundreds of feet of film, which is turned into a documentary. Also coming out of the expedition is a book, The Sea Gypsy, written by Marion Cooper. The documentary and the book take Salisbury and Cooper to Hollywood. Cooper is soon writing, directing, or producing some of the best movies to ever come out of Hollywood. People often say Hollywood doesn't make movies like they used to. It may be because Hollywood doesn't have men like Marion Cooper anymore.
And a terrific job on the storytelling, as always, by Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Roger McGrath. We love the Hollywood Goes to War series. And my goodness, so many great men served when they didn't have to. There were many other ways they could have gone about helping the effort, war bonds and the like. People like John Ford, Frank Capra, John Huston, Jimmy Stewart, Clark Gable. Gable, at the height of his career, doing this over and over again. The story of Marion Cooper here on Our American Story.
When the world gets in the way of your music, try the new Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Next-gen earbuds uniquely tuned to the shape of your ears. They use exclusive Bose technology that personalizes the audio performance to fit you, delivering the world's best noise cancellation and powerfully immersive sound, so you can hear and feel every detail of the music you love. Bose Quiet Comfort Earbuds 2. Sound shaped to you. To learn more, visit Bose.com.
every morning is a new opportunity to crush your goals. Give yourself an advanced edge with C4 Pre-Workout by Cellucor. Effective and delicious, C4 Pre-Workout is a balanced combination of ingredients that will give you the caffeinated boost needed to energize your inner athlete, help you focus, and improve your mind-muscle connection. Boost up your strength and endurance, and to help get better results with C4. Use code POD25 to get 25% off at cellucor.com. That's CELLUCOR.com.
With CheapCaribbean.com, you can get more food, more drinks, and more fun for less money on your all-inclusive beach vacation.
Like bottomless margaritas?
Yes, and...
going snorkeling whenever I want?
Yes, and...
moonlight dance parties?
Yes, and...
loaded fajita nachos?
Yes, and...
all the daiquiris I can drink.
You can say yes and to everything when you take a next-level beach vacation at Catalonia Hotels and Resorts in Mexico and the Caribbean with CheapCaribbean.com. We'll be right back.